talk about this morning, how to fight back, and I want to focus down on the U.S. and what we can actually do here, and how the public health community can really play an important role in this. So, you know, people don't often talk about consolidation, so it's a real pleasure to be here with Ray, who really set the stage for me and what's going on here in the United States. And, you know, talking about consolidation is really as American as apple pie. Thomas Jefferson really kicked off this debate when he and Alexander Hamilton debated the formation of the U.S. And Thomas Jefferson said that it was a fundamental human right not to be exposed to monopoly power. This debate on consolidation continued through the Civil War, when the big conglomerates after the war in the transportation and manufacturing area were abusing their political power. And we saw our first antitrust laws here in the U.S. Come about in Congress. And then the debate continued, as we all know, into the 20th century with Teddy Roosevelt and the Trust Busters. And into the 1940s, by the end of the 40s, our antitrust laws were working pretty well in this nation. And in fact, there was agreement in both political parties that vigorous antitrust enforcement was really important, not just about price, but also around the concentration of power. Now, by the end of the 1970s, when there were many investigations going on at our two main agencies that deal with antitrust, that's the Department of Justice and the Federal Trade Commission, there was a lot of pressure on those agencies to stop those antitrust investigations because a lot of companies had their eye on getting larger. And so in the early 1980s, when a lot of political changes took place, we saw really an evisceration of antitrust. We saw those two main agencies shrunk, and the definition of an antitrust violation was severely narrowed. And over the course of the following decades, we saw both political parties agree that there shouldn't be antitrust enforcement. And that's really what's brought us here today. Now, I want to make the argument that these are really important issues. Obviously, we have to figure out how to break these issues down into winnable bites. And it takes lots of different strategies on the global and on the national stage to do that. And we've heard a little bit on the global stage. I'm going to talk about some of the most compelling issues here in the United States and some of the ways that we can begin to tackle some of these giant companies that are really abusing their power. Because we know what happens when companies are allowed to get too large to buy and merge and acquire their competitors. It means that they also have a lot of political parties or political power. And what we've seen here in the U.S. is that these companies have been able, through their influence peddling, to impact every decision that has to do with food production and food. So I want to concentrate on the meat industry because there are some decisions that are being made currently that are really going to impact the way that meat is produced. And you'll notice from that little clip that I shared about my book that there are two very large meat companies that are active in every sector of the meat industry, beef, chicken, and pork. And you know, economists have long believed that if four companies have a market concentration of more than 50%, that is an abuse of power and that's a monopoly. So in the area of meat production, we have two giant meat processors. They're in the top five largest food processors in this country, Tyson Foods and JBS. Now, most people don't know who JBS is. wonky issues that's related to the way meat is produced. And it's because a lot of groups came together. We had the Center for a Livable Future and other organizations involved in science writing reports and talking about the danger of arsenic in chicken production. It took years. In fact, we ran a campaign at Food and Water Watch with CLF in Maryland, a big chicken producing state, to basically make it illegal to use arsenic in chicken production. And through a lot of pressure, we have been able to get the FDA to say, after years of groups talking about this, people like David Willinga, that we the drugs have been taken off the market now for the use of producing chicken. So that's a real victory. We need to carry that victory to antibiotics. You know, it's hard to believe that we can beat these big corporations, but you know, we have the people. We just have to use programs like Meatless Monday that educate people about these issues, the chefs that Elizabeth is going to talk about, to really put these issues on people's radar screen. And then we have to do the nuts and bolts work. And I think we're not just fixing the food system, we're fixing our democracy, right? We don't want a handful of companies to say what kind of food system we have. We need to really fight to take back our democracy. And we need health professionals to get involved with us in that fight. So I'm asking you, begging you today, to commit yourself to getting involved in these important issues, especially antibiotics for the long term. Let's come back at a future APHA meeting and celebrate getting antibiotics out of animal production.
Thank you very much, Winona. Sarah, I'm not sure what you did so magically last time, but perhaps you can do that again while I introduce Elizabeth. It's called the podium shuffle here. Elizabeth Meltz is going to now talk to us a wonderful title, Chat and Chew. Mario Batali's head of sustainability talks Meatless Monday and how it has shaped the restaurant industry to the benefit of public health. Elizabeth is the force behind two distinct and crucial programs at Batali and Bastianich Hospitality Group, food safety and sustainability. She began her career at B&B as a line cook, but her passion for these two areas led her to eventually become the Director of Food Safety and Sustainability. She supervises over 16 restaurants, oversees food safety programs, and has made B&B a leader in the green restaurant world. As many of you in the audience know and have heard about Mario Batali, but he's an internationally recognized figure in the restaurant world. In this presentation, Elizabeth is going to provide some insights from her experience of working within the food system on how restaurants can help serve the public health while responsibly meeting corporate interests. All set? No?
We will figure it out, but it is currently non-responsive.
Including that.
Yeah.
Well, Elizabeth, can you wing it? We'll try to find some technical help.
But
Oh, good idea. Sound like somebody who might be able to do that for us, no?
I've really had quite a week.
All right, do you have your USB?
So the
was a BD one just before, and that's still logging the system. So while we